This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the evening edition, and I am Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan. Now, today's show is dedicated to all you word and grammar geeks out there. Yes, you, I know you're out there. So we're talking dictionaries, in particular the Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary, which is the world's best-selling advanced-level dictionary for learners of English.
OLD is a very good source for my students to see how real English works, because you can find lots of examples, lots of collocations.
I'm not surprised that it is a best-selling dictionary, and because of all the features and all the benefits of it.
The thing that Oxford dictionaries have is they are the gold standard for international English.
I like to think that the OLD really does change people's lives.
I'm speaking today to Alison Waters. She is a publisher at the ELT Dictionaries Department at Oxford University Press UK. Alison, there are dozens of different dictionaries that the Oxford University Press puts out. The Oxford Advanced Learners Dictionary is just one of them, the largest English dictionary aimed at non-native speakers. Explain this distinction for us.
Well, my department publishes dictionaries specifically for learners of English, or people whose first language isn't English. And they may not necessarily be active learners. They may not be studying in class, but they are people who have to use English, whether in the workplace or for the medium of instruction at the university they're studying at. So we write our dictionaries specifically with their needs in mind. They have very different needs. For example, we have to simplify the definitions of the words that we give them, because if they're looking up a particular word, they need an easy group of words used to explain what it is. So if they were looking up arrogant, then we can't give a definition of haughty.
Right.
Because if they don't know arrogant, they're even less likely to know haughty. So we would have to make a longer definition usually and say something like perhaps proud, because that is a word they might know. But someone who thinks, you know, a person who's haughty, the person who's arrogant thinks they are more important than they really are, or has a high opinion of themselves.
Right. So who is it for specifically in your, I guess, scope document, in your white paper? Who would you list down this dictionary as being for?
Well, a wide variety of people. Although it's called the Oxford Learners Dictionary, and all of our range have learners in the title to distinguish them from other dictionaries, because as you say, OUP produces a lot of dictionaries and is famous. Oxford is a famous dictionary brand, the most famous. But it's not necessarily learners. It is people using English as a second language, as a lingua franca in the workplace. They may not be actively studying, but they are people who do not have English as their first language, primarily. And so those are the people we're aiming at. So it's children, adults, everybody who is needing to use English or learn English for whatever reason.
Right. I think for the most part, the general notion of a dictionary is still one that remains a place to look up words, possibly even etymologies. Tell us then where the dictionary comes into play when working towards a better comprehension and mastery of the language. I mean, how does that work? Or even success at the workplace, like you mentioned earlier, how does that work?
Well, in the case of our target audience, that we know that they're people who, yes, they need to pass exams or some kind of benchmark in order to achieve whatever, whether it be getting a job in the workplace or whether it is passing an exam in order to get to university to study in the medium of English or to travel, to live abroad. So we are focusing usually on things like the requirements that the exam requirements that they might have, or the type of work requirements they might have. So we're looking at people who need to perhaps give presentations in English, conduct business meetings in English, or we're talking about children at school who need to pass English at a certain level in order to progress. So those are our requirements. That's how it's different from a learner's dictionary is different from, say, the Oxford English Dictionary, the OED, which is more of a historical record of the language, and that has a completely different objective. In that it's the same in that it describes what words mean, but it's really historically recording how words change through the centuries, how meanings have changed. And when they first came into the language, it's more of an academic research document.
And of course it contains all words. It contains words that are no longer in use. It contains words that are extinct because they are part of this greater vocabulary, right? Meanwhile, things like the Concise Dictionary, the Learner's Dictionary are more current.
Yes, the Concise Oxford Dictionary is part of the same group. So that, that is more current in that they have to reduce the amount of coverage that they have because it's a much smaller dictionary. But they would still probably include obsolete words. I'm talking for my colleagues at OUP. I don't work in that department. But in our case, we are looking at the most important words that a learner, in inverted commas, because as I've said earlier, it covers a whole range of people, that person would need in order to achieve success in workplace or in education.
I'm speaking to Alison Waters from the Oxford University Press UK. After this, I ask Alison about the Oxford 3000. You're listening to the Evening Edition BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the Evening Edition. I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan, and today's show is all about the dictionary, or rather, the Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary. Now, the Oxford 3000 is a list of the 3000 most important words to learn in the English language. These key words of the Oxford 3000 have been carefully selected by a group of language experts and experienced teachers as the words which should receive priority in vocabulary study because of their importance and usefulness.
The Oxford 3000 is a list of the most important and the most useful words in English. It was compiled by language experts and by experienced English teachers using information in the Oxford Corpus Collection and the British National Corpus. The selection of the Oxford 3000 was based on three criteria: frequency, range, and familiarity. The list includes the most frequent words in English, but only those words which are frequent across a range of different text types. For example, some words are very common in particular types of English, in science or in business, for instance, but are not very common elsewhere. So the Oxford 3000 list includes only those words which are frequent across different fields and disciplines, not only in one narrow type of English. As well as frequency and range, the third principle underlying the Oxford 3000 is familiarity. Many words which are familiar to all speakers of English are not actually very common on the corpus. For example, certain days of the week, like Tuesday and Wednesday, are actually less common than other days, like Friday and Saturday. Some parts of the body, such as ankle and elbow, are not very common on the corpus either. But of course, all advanced learners have to know these words. You can't say that Tuesday isn't a very common word, therefore you don't need to learn it. This is why the Oxford 3000 is a list of the most important words to know in English, and not only the most frequent words.
I'm speaking today to Alison Waters. She is a publisher at the ELT Dictionaries Department at Oxford University Press UK. My main curiosity has always been about how we determine what those words are. The most important words. Is it a question of common usage? Is it a question of popular usage? Is it a question of, or is it a question of things you should know and you should use?
Yes, we would never tell people what they should know, but we would recommend that they learn a certain group of words, which in our learner dictionary range we call the Oxford 3000. These are words that were researched for quite some time before we published the 7th edition of the Advanced Learner's Dictionary, which was in 2005, and we have continued to use them throughout our range. Those were researched as the most important words for a learner or for somebody using English in this way. They are frequent, they occur frequently in the language, but they are also identified as the most useful in that they're the words you need in order to explain something that you don't know. If you don't know the word for lawnmower, you need to be able to say a machine that cuts grass.
Grass, yeah.
So those three words are important. They're the words you need for defining.
And I'm assuming these 3,000 words, because English language, more so than any other language in the world, has been adopted and adapted and has evolved in so many different ways based on geography and demographics. So these 3,000 words are something that you guys feel applies universally, irrespective of whether you're speaking English in Saudi Arabia or Malaysia or Kathmandu, right?
Yes. Yes, they absolutely are. These are general English words. And as I say, they're the keywords that you need in order to be able to get by. And so we have something called a text checker, where you can actually put in a text digitally into our online website, the Oxford Advanced Learners website, and you can see which words are in the Oxford 3000. And usually in a general English text, obviously not specialised, the Oxford 3000 will cover between 85 and 95% of that text, obviously excluding names and proper nouns. So yes, it's well tested and proven, and has become quite an authoritative list for learners. And people like lists, so it's good to give them a sort of quantity that's manageable. And if we say to a learner, if you have these 3,000 words, you will be able to get by pretty successfully in understanding and reading and speaking.
Tell me what this world is like, this idea of... because the process is quite fascinating, the process of coming up with these 3,000 words. Who are the people who decide? I mean, what qualifications do you have to have? I mean, I'm really fascinated. Do they sit around a table and debate endlessly about the virtues of, you know, haughty versus arrogant?
Yes, neither of those I would say would be in the Oxford 3000, but proud would. No, it is based on research now. I mean, obviously nowadays we have a massive database of words. The Oxford English Corpus is a 2.7 billion word collection of English text. And it's growing all the time because it's always being continually added to, and all of the dictionary departments use it. We share it with the academic English division. So we use that, first of all, to see how frequent the words are, how often they occur. We also look at the range of areas in which those words occur. So if something is very frequent, but it's only used in a legal context, then, of course, it wouldn't apply for us. It wouldn't get into the Oxford 3000. It has to be a word that is used across a general range of areas. And the other area we have is how useful it is, and that is slightly more subjective. But for that, we have a panel of teachers, usually of instructors of English language. We tested it out with them, and we've tested it out ourselves by using the Oxford 3000 as our defining vocabulary. So all our definitions are written only using those words. So it is tried and tested that if students know those words, they will be able to understand all the definitions in the dictionary.
That was Alison Waters from the OUP. More dictionary banter after the news. Don't go anywhere. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to the Evening Edition with me, Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan. I'm geeking out today on words and dictionaries with Alison Waters from the Oxford University Press's ELT Dictionaries Department. She is the publisher of the Oxford Advanced Learners Dictionary, which is the world's best-selling advanced-level dictionary for learners of English.
The OLD is more than just a dictionary. We see it now as a learning resource for teachers and learners.
What it does is it provides all the other information that students need about words and puts them in context.
A lot of teachers in Japan loves OLD because of the clear definition and also the wide range of vocabularies.
How often do you need to update the Advanced Learners Dictionary and even the Oxford 3000? Because I guess language is constantly evolving, and at a pace almost that dictionary makers can't keep up with. Because it's a slow process, isn't it? The idea of curating words for a dictionary.
Yes, but it is digital. I mean, we have the Oxford Reading Programme, so we have a permanent dedicated team of people who are researching the language, dating when words first come in and finding out if there are pre-dating. So it is a long-term research programme. We also nowadays, as I say, with digital resources like the Corpus of English, we are able to store it, search it, and use it in a much more... objective way. Mm-hmm. It isn't so subjective anymore. When the OED was first edited by James Murray, first compiled, obviously it's much more subjective, deciding what words to put in or how frequent they might be. Yes, we traditionally, when with print dictionaries, we update about every 5 years. It takes that long to to re-edit and add and take out as necessary. Nowadays, with digital media, obviously we can update much more regularly and on an ongoing basis. And with the OED, for example, which they no longer publish in print...
That was the saddest moment when you guys announced, I think it was in 2010, that you will no longer publish a next edition of the OED.
It isn't that it will never, ever be published in print. It's just that people don't want it in print. It isn't that we've said we never would, but people are no longer wanting to buy 20 volumes of a dictionary or an encyclopedia anymore.
I have in my house the 20-volume set of the OED, plus the three addendums.
Oh, right.
It's one of my most prized possessions in my library.
Well, that's very good, and I'm very pleased that you do. But a lot of people don't have the space in their house, or they just don't want print anymore. There isn't the requirement. It's very expensive to produce. So a lot of people want something that's searchable, that they can use online. And so, yes, we now publish the OED online, and it is regularly updated. That's the advantage of it as well. So that is an ongoing editing program, and we will be doing the same with this edition of the Oxford Advanced Learners. It will have regular updates with new words being added, things potentially being taken out during its lifetime. So it'll be interesting to see what we do with the Advanced Learners Dictionary in the next 5 to 10 years.
And what about the 3,000? How often does that change?
It doesn't really change because they are the most important words. They aren't words that are likely to come into the language and then become obsolete or not useful anymore. So they don't really fall into that category of word. So on the whole, we don't need to update it. We might research and check that we haven't missed anything or that there aren't words we should be considering. But really, it's a fairly solid list.
We've been talking quite a bit about the role that digital plays in the dictionary. So before I go into the future of the dictionary, talk to us about the use of dictionaries in schools these days in the UK. What is it like over there? I mean, I know how much we use it or don't use it in Malaysia, but in the UK, is it still a essential component of every kid's school bag?
Well, to be honest, that's another division of OUP that publishes school dictionaries for the UK. It certainly used to be, but I think probably less and less, although we still publish an awful lot of dictionaries for primary and secondary schools. And it's still booming business. People still want print, but they also want digital components as well. So, yes, I think it still is a required component. Certainly, I think it certainly helps children if they do use dictionaries. I think it is an invaluable resource. And I don't know that teachers say they absolutely have to have one, but I think they certainly are still used.
I'm speaking to Alison Waters of the OUP. In a little while, we talk about the future of print. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the Evening Edition. I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan, and we're talking dictionaries and the English language today with Alison Waters from the Oxford University Press. I'm a big fan of technology, but I'm also a big fan of print. And for me, one of the greatest things about having a dictionary, and this is when I fly my geek flag, is the sense of discovery, which you do not get online. When I Google a word, when I go to the OUP website and I look up a word, it's a very specific word that I'm looking up. However, I think there is some little bit of geek pleasure in flipping to a random page in a dictionary and finding out something new.
Oh, but you can do that with all of our dictionaries in their digital form.
Oh, there we go. Good plug.
There is so much, yes, there is so much information there. And the fact that it's digital gives you even more opportunity because you can click on one word to go to another word. You can see the words that precede and succeed it in the dictionary. So you are given, we organise our words into topic groups and you can then look at other related words and click on those and go to those entries. So you actually do discover far more, I would say.
So that in itself must be a really fascinating project. You know, you often read about the process that goes behind, say, curating words for the OED, and they say, you know what, for some 60 million words, and it'll take you this long, 50 years to proofread all of them. But of course, the internet project must be an incredibly fascinating one as well.
Yes, I mean, it's as fascinating. I think The medium in which we produce the dictionary, the content of the dictionary, it's not irrelevant, but it's the same. The content is the same, whether it be in print or in an e-book or on a website. What is there is still relevant. And I think really that the opportunity with digital is that we can just offer more ways of serving people with that content in ways that they find easier to use. So if they prefer to access it from their mobile phones, why not? I think it's just serving a greater community. So
the big question then is, what, in your opinion, is the future of the print dictionary?
Well, for us, for learner dictionaries, at the moment, print is still doing very well because obviously our audience is global. It's more outside the UK because, as I say, it's for people who are not native speakers of English. So at the moment, the Oxford Advanced Learners Dictionary is selling more in print with each new edition, unbelievably. But it is also selling digitally as well. And we are obviously improving all the digital resources that accompany it.
And so it's something that just... It's not a zero-sum game. It's something that works in hand, at least for the moment.
Yes. For us, for our department, certainly for the moment, we don't see an end to print. I mean, obviously, within the next, I would say, 5-10 years, we will be looking at perhaps lower print runs, but I don't see an end to print yet. It's like newspapers. They went digital, but people still want to buy, especially at the weekends, they still want to buy a printed newspaper and read it with a cup of coffee on a Sunday morning. Other people don't. They want to look at it on their iPad on the way to work. So we're just sort of serving a wider audience, I think.
So talk to us about the, I guess your assessment of the general level of English in the country.
Well, I'm certainly not equipped to assess the level of people's English. I've been here since Friday for the first time.
That's long enough.
Malaysia.
That's long enough.
I can only say that everybody I've met, I've been to quite a few universities, I've met some lovely people and colleagues at Oxford Fajar who I hadn't met before. Everybody I have met has spoken very good English. I'm very impressed. I've been to a lot of countries for work and travel for pleasure. It's great to be able to know that every taxi I get into or every person I meet can communicate. I mean, yes, levels vary depending on where you are and who you're talking to and what you're talking about. But I would say generally, I feel very comfortable here. I can't speak a word of Malay, so I'm very happy, grateful that people can talk to me in English. And the level has been very high, I would say. But I'm not qualified to judge, of course, after just a few days.
That was Alison Waters. She is a publisher with the Oxford University Press's ELT Dictionaries Department. If you missed any part of this program, you can download the podcast at www.bfm.my. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.